To the hotline to welcome in the very first guest on today's show. He joins us every Tuesday. He's Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram. Dave, joining us on the local beat, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Going to Wrigley Field may be a great experience, but it pales in comparison to the great jewelry buying experience that you will get if you head on down to Vandermark Jewelers. It's on Broad Street here in Elyria, right across from the hospital. Vandermark Jewelers is a trusted name in jewelry, and if you stop by, you'll see why. Dave, how are you, my friend?
I'm good today, Bull. How you doing?
So far, not so bad. I mean, it's relatively early, I guess, but there's a lot to talk to you about today, and you've been busy penning a number of different stories since our last conversation, but I want to begin with the one you wrote about the former Emerald Woods Golf Course being sold for $4.7 million. What exactly is going to be done with this land, and how would all this come together?
So basically, this is the old Emerald Woods Golf Course, as you said. You know, more than 300 acres down in Columbia Township. And there was a sale, you know, for 14, sorry, not 14. I gave it a little more punch than it needed there, $4.7 million. that was finalized, about a week and a half ago. Back in August, it was kind of announced, but you know, to the auditor's office, and then finalized, real early this month. What's going to happen here is that we're going to see about almost 305 acres transferred from a limited partnership called Emerald Woods Golf Course Limited Partnership. And owner Walter McLean to something called EWGC Development Group. That's all a little bit inside baseball. But basically, what happens here is this land that some folks who were listening may have once, shot a couple holes on is going to be turned into private housing. So this will be a massive housing development, one of 660, I think, that MLM Development plans to put in Columbia and Columbia Station in the next couple of years. That's, again, part of about 1,300 new homes that are planned, within the next, few years beyond that. This is sort of the starting point. There's already a couple of developments that have gone in down there. Columbia Station seeing a huge amount of growth in residential housing. Now, this is also part of a deal with the county, where the county is going to put in one of these so-called tax increment financing districts. That's their plan, anyway, to allow sanitary sewers to go in ahead of the expected development of the property. They're going to be putting in these 10 to 15 inch lines, and building a sewer and pump station, and basically, to help kind of keep that growth to the point where they can manage it for several years.
Dave, reading through the story here, that all sounds well and good, but apparently not met with overwhelming support from some of the community. Elaborate, if you could, on some of the resistance that this has met.
Absolutely, and this primarily is going to affect the school district, the Columbia School District. School district officials are still a little bit, I don't want to say ticked off so much as they're concerned about the lack of what they say is them being shut out of talks over the county's plans to put in this TIF district. What happens is that under state law, the commissioners can put in this 10-year 75% TIF. And what that means is that for 10 years, 75% of the property taxes that would normally go from the developer or from the property owner to the schools would be taken off to the side and basically put in a different account that would fund the digging, the installation, the preparation of the sewers that need to go in to handle all of the additional housing units that are going in. Now, that, according to people who are not maybe such fans of a TIF, comes at the expense of the school district, which is going to lose about 75% of the taxes that they would have made, or would have been given, under a levy, a property tax levy, And also that affects the township a little bit in terms of property taxes they would receive as part of a fire levy or an EMS levy or a roads and bridges levy, that kind of thing. Columbia Township not having a police department, and, you know, that's one of those things that wouldn't go to, say, a police department because they don't have one. But there's going to be a lack of, you know, those property taxes are going to be used for another purpose for at least 10 years if this is what the commissioners decide to do. So the schools feel a little bit shut out, and I've had several discussions over the past several months with Superintendent Greg Bancic down there, also with Board of Education President Wayne Brassel, and basically they're concerned that the county's not talking with them, not communicating with them. Now, Commissioner Matt Lundy, County Minister Jim Cordes, say that's not necessarily the case. They say that, you know, the school district wanted to pass a levy, and so they held off on announcing the TIF plans until after that levy was passed at the request of school board officials and other school officials. So it's kind of difficult because we don't really know, you know, besides, you know, reading everybody's emails and looking at their, you know, and looking at their phone records, you know, what kind of communication was made back and forth. Mr. Brassel and I have spoken for several hours over the phone, as I said before, and he's concerned about, you know, he has a lot of questions, and he said that he doesn't feel like the commissioners are answering his questions. Matt Lundy told me the other night, look, you know, we're answering their questions. We've answered a lot of their questions, you know, and this is something, and this is not anybody actually saying this, but this is something commissioners can do, and if they do it in a certain way, there's nothing the school board can do to say, okay, yes, we approve or no, we disapprove of these plans. It just kind of goes through. And again, that's something that, you know, people down in people down in Columbia Township, if they're really upset about it, might have to just approach their state lawmakers to try to get things changed or to you know, express their disappointment. Of course, also the election's coming up, so we'll see what this does for county officials at the polls.
Dave, when I was reading the article, I guess I had a couple of questions about that as well, because it seems to me it's one of two things, right? It's a difference of opinion, right? One side wants something, the other side wants something else. But when you're talking about two extraordinarily well-respected individuals such as Matt Lundy and Greg Bancic, two friends of the show, gentlemen we've had on the show many, many times before, my first thought was maybe there was some sort of communication breakdown, but that doesn't seem to be the case. To me, it seems like the communication is pretty clear, but they both have a different understanding as to what they feel like they should be getting as a result of this agreement.
And I think that this is one of those situations where you can have all the Zoom calls and you can have all the conference calls that you want, but there's nothing. And then this is just in my estimation, and also I don't give a lot of personal opinions on our show here, on your show, I should say. But this is one of those situations where a lot of times it's just beneficial if you get two people to sit down across the table from each other. Obviously, with COVID pandemic, you know, regulations, making that a little bit more difficult in the past couple months. But just sit down in a room and talk to each other, you know, and that seems like, you know, there were some concerns by school officials that basically commissioners tried to pass these TIFs, or they were planning to put these TIF districts into existence at their meeting last Wednesday. Now, school officials said they didn't know until the night before, Tuesday night, that this was going to be on the commissioner's agenda. And then they didn't know until after commissioners had tabled it the following morning, making no decisions on the project, that it had been tabled and it was no longer on their agenda, pending some discussion with legal, with their legal counsel. Matt Lundy also, you know, also expressed to me that, look, you know, the attorneys are involved in this. Said there's attorneys for the school board, there's attorneys for the developers, and there's attorneys for the county. And those attorneys need to get together and have their discussions. And sometimes, you know, elected officials, superintendents, school or presidents, they don't speak the legalese that is required of some of these these projects. And that's, again, not something that somebody told me, but again, I think that's something that we all probably, you know, can take as common sense. So we're looking at a situation that's very difficult. One side says, hey, look, we've been communicating as best we can. The other side says, we don't feel like you've communicated well enough. We'll see where it goes. I mean, the commissioners are meeting again tomorrow morning at 9:30. We'll see where it goes again. And obviously, they're not meeting in person, but they will be meeting via Zoom. You can go on the commissioner's website at lorainecounty.us, or you can go on Facebook to the Lorain County, Ohio government page, and you can watch the meeting, and we'll see what happens.
Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle-Telegram joining us on the Local Beat, brought to you by Vandemark Jewelers. Dave, will transition into something that is a little bit more positive, and that's an outstanding story that you wrote about the Lorain County Workforce Development Agency hiring youth workers to assist the Second Harvest Food Bank of North Central Ohio. Connect the dots for us here and kind of elaborate on why this is so awesome for a number of different reasons. You know, we certainly know that the Second Harvest Food Bank needs help during this pandemic. They're feeding a lot more families than they would in a traditional year, and certainly how this can certainly help out also for the Workforce Development Agency.
Well, again, last week, Mike Longo, who's the director of the Workforce Development Agency for the county, told county commissioners that he's partnering, his agency is anyway, partnering with the Community Action Agency and Ohio Means Jobs to provide up to 20 workers ages 16 to 24 to help Second Harvest Food Bank and their staff to aid in food distribution for up to the next 6 months. This means jobs for young people. This means... you know, that they will be making, a certain amount of money to help them. They'll have something good to put on their resume. The food bank's been struggling to find volunteers during the pandemic, was recently being assisted by on-duty Ohio National Guard troops. Those troops have since gone away, and so the Second Harvest is really kind of itching for volunteers to come in and help out. Now, these young workers can come in, get mentorship experience, and be mentored by people who have been in the workforce, people who have been in volunteer jobs, people have worked at food banks. It's tough work. I mean, there's a lot of lifting and a lot of separating, sorting, and making sure that you serve people with dignity and you keep their, kind of keep their names private. It also puts a little bit of money in the youth's pockets. They'll be able to have some, provided laptop computers and tablets, have to do some of that virtual mentorship for 2 hours a week while they work. It's kind of a win-win. As Commissioner Sharon Sweet has said, anytime you can create youth job opportunities and assist with food needs in the communities, that's a great alliance. And this is really kind of a neat program. And if there's any youth out there who are listening, who are interested, they can call the Workforce Development Agency office at 440-324-5244 and leave a voicemail, sharing their name, their phone number, and a staff member will call them back to see if they're eligible for the program.
Yeah, very cool program. And again, it does a lot of different things, all of them very, very good. All right, Dave, we'll close out the way we always do with your scanner stories of the week. What were some of the goodies you came up with over the last 6 or 7 days?
All right, well, I'm going to give you one that's good, and it's because it's close to home, and it's a little complicated, so follow me along. I'll try to do it real quick here. from our friends at NeoScan, that moment when Oscar the Grouch asks if he can borrow your cell phone on September 12, 2020 at 9:48 a.m., a Willoughby Hills resident called police about a man that had just climbed out of a trash can and asked him if he could use his phone.
I have so many questions, I just don't know if there's like enough time to dive into that. Holy smokes.
Oh, I know what was that, but that was Solid Snake. That's who that was. That was great espionage right there. Boom, right out of the trash can. Got to borrow your cell phone. Get back to the mission.
Wow.
That's all that was.
I will say this, too. In the middle of a pandemic, when you're being told to kind of limit your contact with other people, kind of takes a set of stones, doesn't it, to ask somebody to use their phone, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, as a little bit of a coda there, Bull, before I have to go, upon arrival, Willoughby Hills officers identified the man as a driver from a pursuit the previous Friday, and he was placed under arrest for numerous outstanding warrants.
Wow. Well, that answers some of my questions, I guess, but still, holy cow. Dave, great stuff as always. We always love the conversation. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will do this again next week.
Well, Rocco, good talking to you guys.
Thank you, Dave. Again, that's Dave O'Brien. You can read him every morning in the Chronicle-Telegram. Dave joins us every Tuesday on the Local Beat. It's brought to you by Vandemark Jewelers. We made a reference to stones a few moments ago. You can find lots of stones, lots of diamonds when you head inside that showroom. It is outstanding. You'll also get top-of-the-line, first-class customer service at Vandemark Jewelers. They're here in Elyria on Broad Street, right across from the hospital. You'll get a wonderful jewelry buying experience when you see Jim and Bob and the entire gang at Vandermark Jewelers. Stop by and you'll see why they are a trusted name in jewelry. We need to